Wednesday afternoon, Shir and ladies, Shir Chayvus Halvavus, Shara Avodas Elokim, Shir number 6. It's January 20. Hold on. January 28th, 8 Shvat, Tovshinayin Hay, Wednesday afternoon, Shara Avodas Elokim, Shir 6. Okay, we're learning Chavis Halvavus, Shara Avodas Elokim. We're starting Perek Aleph, Mitzvah Hashem. Shara Avodas Elokim, serving Hashem. Why, in what context, how, what parts of the human psyche is involved in Avodas Hashem? How do you serve Hashem? The Hakdama talked about why we should serve Hashem. Bottom line, it's a way of saying thank you. It's a way of showing gratitude for everything he does for us, which are, it's too numerous to mention, as we say in Nishmas, in Anachnu Maspikim. To get a full appreciation of what Hashem does for us, you can learn Shara Habachina. He says in Shara Habachina that that's only a taste of what Hashem does for us. It's nowhere, if you had to describe everything involved in a person's life, in Klal Yisrael's life, nobody would buy the Sefer. It would be too many volumes, it would be too heavy, too expensive. Certainly, and he doesn't even get into each person's personal life, what they have to, how Hashem maneuver their lives. But that's what the psikh is about, the Hagdama. That's the why, and the context. Now he gets into the nitty gritty of how, and he will discuss the ramifications of internalizing the Hagdama, that is my way of saying thank you, my way of expressing gratitude. The main thing is acknowledgement that it's from Hashem. That's the main avoda. In an overall sense, the thank you is, Hashem doesn't need our thanks, obviously, he doesn't need anything, but the meaningfulness of the thank you is the acknowledgement. Acknowledgement that I see because of Hashem, I think because of Hashem, I speak because of Hashem, I digest food because of Hashem, I walk, talk, everything, anything and everything because of Hashem. That acknowledgement is the thank you. The thank you is that acknowledgement. That's the avoda. Now, the best thing would be, based on that Dhamma, the best thing would be, in an ideal world, people would be intelligent. I know that's a fantasy, but people would be intelligent, and people would think about these things, and people would have would feel, as you do when someone does something for you, we would feel compelled to say thank you. And we would figure, we would realize that Hashem exists. That's Shara Yichud. Right? We would realize how much He does for us. That's Shara Bechina. And we would feel compelled, because that's how we are wired, and we know that. We know that if someone does something for me, so I feel compelled to say thank you. And what Hashem does is like too enormous to even talk about, so of course I'm compelled. So I would figure out how to serve Hashem. I would say thank you. Maybe I would praise Him all day like the Malachim do. I don't know if I would work out the 613 mitzvos as Avraham Avinu did, but you see, Avraham Avinu did, so you see, you know, I would, but my basic avodas halakim, he's not talking about now the rules of the Torah, the rules of the Shulchan Aruch. Because Allah does not impart to the specific mitzvahs, he doesn't impart to them what other svarim do. He doesn't talk about it, meaning he doesn't make an issue of the particular mitzvah, how that's a piece of godliness. He doesn't go like an overview that the mitzvahs are in general a way of acknowledging Hashem and saying thank you in different ways and different forms. And it really echoes the Ramban, which is a silly statement, because Ramban was 2 centuries after the Chayyus HaLavus, that all mitzvahs are an expression of Emunah. That's Ramban at the end of Bo. So it's really all mitzvahs are an expression of the reality of Hashem. And we talked about that a lot. I talked about it a lot. My wife tells me ad nauseum already. And we talked about even why Benoda Machaveru was that way. And so really, in an ideal world, as Halavos is going to tell us now, people would be intelligent, people would figure out what to do. There would still be a difference even between Jews and non-Jews. Of course, as he will say later on, all these things like biology and astronomy and the law, you know, physical laws, physics, and all those amazing, amazing things to make this world such a wonderful place to be in, they result in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. That's universal. It's not Jewish. It's universal. The Jews, just like us, like something special happened to me. Hashem, as I said at the end of last week, we're going to learn he makes that very... If Hashem does something for me in a way that I feel like really unusual, not the norm, so then I have an obligation to say thank you more. So, and he will explain that the Jewish people's 613 mitzvahs is because of their history, not individual's history, but the collective history of the Jewish people. Took us down to Mitzrayim, took us out of Mitzrayim, said we're bonim lamokom, am segula, mamleches kohanim, v'goy kodosh. And therefore it's like a ramification of that, a result of that. This is view. He's according to the way he's thinking. That therefore they were given more obligations because they have more thank yous to say. Because they have a special relationship with Hashem. We're not talking about individuals, we're talking about the collective nation, the Jewish nation. So in an ideal world, we would be left to our own devices, we would feel compelled to say thank you, and we would figure out what to do. Would we figure out to be mafresh challah, and to put on tefillin, and to put up a mezuzah? I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Rav Avinu did. Chazal doesn't delve into it. He's talking more conceptually, the overall picture of serving Hashem. Serving Hashem. So he says in Perek Aleph, that would be great. That would be wonderful. That would be fantastic. But it would never work. It wouldn't work, and he says why. The Amar Machaber, Achatzorach El Ha'ora, to inspire us, to teach us, Avodas Hashem V'Chelkelahu, B'nei She'odam Chayov, B'Avodas Hashem Yisbarach Migdera, Chasei Techel V'Har Kara, because, again, it's just the compelling need to serve Hashem, to acknowledge Hashem, to thank Hashem, which is the basis, the soul, the bedrock, the foundation of everything that we do for Hashem, not really for Hashem, but everything we serve Hashem with is saying thank you. So that's something I have figured out, and I see it, and any intelligent person would come to that conclusion. The problem is that it takes a long time to get intelligent. I know, I'm still waiting. Let's pick the number 20 years old. I think 20 is a good age for a certain maturity, a certain understanding. You see in Chazal that 20 years old is the age where in Shemayim they start demanding you live a proper life. But Hashem started doing things for me 9 months before I made my grand entry into the world. Right? So the tovos that Hashem gave me, it starts when I have no intelligence. And when a person's born, right, there's no intelligence. And he doesn't understand anything, and he's immature, and he's selfish, and he doesn't acquire maturity or understanding till, he doesn't say till when, you know, let's say 20, and, you know, we'll give humankind the benefit of the doubt. The age being Asa, Rosa, so we got a problem. Hashem has a problem. Really, you know, figure it out, Rabosai. It's simple, it's basic. And it ends up being the pshat. Even after the Torah, and after the Shulchan Aruch, and after you have to call the rabbi up, because there's like a million dinim to know, and there's so many details, and it's like, you know, very frustrating sometimes, the amount of details. And Judaism is accused of being a religion of laws. But you learn the Chayyim Halalas, he says, now all that, he didn't explain why that exists. But the bottom line is not following the laws, in a sense. He explains why it's essential to, and if you don't do it, it'll be a disaster. But that's not, we're searching, modern guy, Chayyim Halalas, we're searching for a relationship with Hashem. We're searching for not the myriad details of the halacha. We're searching for, thank you, Hashem. I love you, Hashem. I'm in awe of you, Hashem. You exist, Hashem. That's what we're searching for. And everything is, and the Ramban says it in one pithy sentence. The Kol HaMitzvahs is to create emunah, or to establish emunah, or to express emunah. He says, everything would be fine. Hashem had to give us a Torah because too much time goes by between Hashem appearing to us in the form that he appears to us, Shar HaBechina, that's what he writes. That's how Hashem appears to us in nature, in our lives, in our bodies, in our everything. Hashem reveals himself to us in that way, not so much in the philosophical cheshbonos of Shar HaYichud, as what the Chacham Baba says. That's good for philosophers, for thinkers, but for regular people, they see Hashem in Shar HaBechina. You take a walk and you look at a flower and you're intelligent and you know that the flower is not just beautiful, but you start studying a flower and then you can spend 6 months easily studying and how it works with the bee and then the parts of the flower and the pollen and the, like, whoa, and like the way it's structured. A leaf. Spend 6 months studying the structure of a leaf. And nowadays, when you have to get into, you can get into the subatomic particles. This is really but that's all. Yeah, I can do. I don't need a Torah to do it. I don't. You know that I'm going to do. So the problem is the age bein eis heros hatovas halado bein eis yaskil, that he acquires some emotional maturity and intelligence. And I feel compelled to thank Hashem. Zman Oruch. Oh boy, it's a long time. So what's supposed to happen in those years? I won't say that he's supposed to live like a guy, because a guy is not supposed to live like that either. A guy is a person that's aware of Hashem, acknowledges Hashem, thanks Hashem. We're not talking about atheists. We're not talking about Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We're talking about good, intelligent people. So I won't say he lives like he's supposed to live under God. I'll say he's supposed to live without Hashem. He's supposed to live like a hefka life and not acknowledge, not thank Hashem, not acknowledge that he's giving you everything with every step you take. What are you supposed to do? So Hashem had to give us a Torah and say, so you don't understand why you can't eat meat and milk together. You don't understand why you have to not do work on Saturday. You don't understand why you can't eat Avim and Achai, why you can't eat Pasul B'cholov. You don't have to understand his rules. I'm giving you rules so that a person stays connected through the rules to Hashem, because he knows he's listening to Hashem's rules. He's not yet saying thank you. He doesn't have the intelligence or the maturity to realize what's going on. So Hashem doesn't want him to grow up, you know, as a hefker kid, a hefker child, boy or girl. Then you want to bring him back when he starts getting intelligence. We all know it's too late then, right? You can't bring him back once they. What do they say about the farm guy? Once he's been in the streets of Paris, you can't keep him down on the farm. Such an expression. Does anybody know that? Yeah. How do you keep him down on the farm once they've seen Game Paris? That's So we have to inspire people and teach people. We have to teach them the Mitzvah Torah. 640. Hashem, Bohem Tushlam Lo Avodah L'Kel Yibar. That's the way we serve Hashem. Hashem gives us these rules. Chova, and you have to do it. I don't care if you understand it or not. You have to do it. You have to do it when you're Chinuch. We have to train our children to do it. When they're 13, they have to do it. As they get old, they have to do it. We're not going to wait till they will be expressing a thank you. It would be a disaster. Kadesh al Yishor believed us without any connection to Hashem, without any service of Hashem, Achayuk Mar Sichlo. I said, hey, no, I'm still waiting. Now, there's two ways to approach Avodas Hashem, and we're going to juggle both ways. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you Shar HaBechim. I'm going to teach you to look at a flower. I'm going to teach you to appreciate biology. I'm going to teach you to realize that how you grew up and who your parents were and how Hashem maneuvered. You should have this friend and you should have this influence in your life. And I'm going to teach you to appreciate physics and chemistry and zoology. I'm going to teach you that. I'm going to give you seichel. Then I'm going to tell you where you think all this comes from. Notua ba'akoras ha'odom, notzer olav v'shorer v'riyosa v'toldoso. I'm going to open your eyes, because this is something that's natural and instinctive, and you should have it, you know, without cracking open a safe. I could teach you this. It's something you should have innately, and you do have it innately, but you don't have seichel yet. That's the problem. So I'm going to open your eyes. That's one way. To make you aware of what you should be thinking and feeling, and it's all very natural, and it's tekua in a person, and it's a normal thing. As I say, the person is wired that way. Just like you understand if someone plucks you off the street, he always gives this marshal, you know, later, he says, you know, someone plucks a bum off the street, and he takes him into his house, and he gives him an education, and he teaches him hygiene, and he gives him food, and he buys him a wardrobe, and he puts him through college, and he gives him a job, and he finds him a wife. So, like, person, like, and that's nothing compared to what Hashem. The person won't know how to say thank you, obviously, right? But there's nothing compared to what we are Hashem. Hashem gave us life, Hashem gave us existence, Hashem gave us the ability to see, Hashem gave me the ability to talk. Some people say Hashem gave me too much ability there. Hashem gave me the ability to be quiet. So the one way is to teach this innate intelligence that we should really all have automatically, but we can't wait till the person gets intelligent. Because on the way, he's going to have a lot of things in his life, and then who knows what's going to be with him or her. So one is to teach you. You realize that you can see, and you realize what the eye is, and the most sophisticated camera that exists, etc., etc., etc. Vasheni, and there's another way, and that is, I'm giving you a set of rules. This is what you can eat, this is what you can drink, this is what you can do, you can't do this, you can't. I'm going to give you a list of rules that's my word. And yeah, I don't care if you understand it or not, but this is what you have to do. That's another way. Vasheni koyer konri b'derech hashma, obedience. Via Torah. Hashem gave us a Torah with the rules. You know the rules, the book, the rules? That's what the Torah is, the book of the rules. Asher yagienu anovi ol bnei odom Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the anovi gave it, bol rosum derech avodo, I'm sorry, I apologize, Hashem chayevim bol abori yisporach. That's Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph is, okay, we have the Hakdama teaches us what it's all based on. And in Perek Aleph he says, but we have a problem, because we can't wait till the person develops the intelligence and the maturity to chap everything I talked about in the Hakdama. Certainly how to express his thanks. It's like, what do I do? What do I say? How do I express his thanks? So there's two things we're going to do, which is a Perek Aleph. There's two ways that Judaism is made up of two ways. One is to teach people intelligence, to teach people to be aware, to teach people to be appreciative, to teach people not to take things for granted, to teach people that they have to acknowledge Hashem, have to, in the sense of compelling from the inside out. How, if once their eyes are open, they'll feel compelled, because that's how, as I say, that's how a person is wired, because we know we feel compelled. Any normal person feels compelled to say thank you at any significant or insignificant tofa. Kol shekein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm going to teach you, I'm going to open your eyes, and I'm going to teach you Torah. I'm going to teach you the rules. And he's going to explain why each one, as we go through the Shara, Be'ezus Hashem, he's going to explain why each one is necessary. You can't get by with just one. You need the rules, you need a framework of rules. You can't just teach someone, okay, say thank you, and they'll figure out how to say thank you. Then we'll look like the hippies in the 60s in Haight Ashbury. Right? Who remembers those years? Mrs. Zabrowski, come on up. You were a flower child? I grew up in those years. That's what it would look like. Yiddish guy would look like a street in San Francisco. And it would be, I'm talking about, be wonderful people would be, strumming the guitar, singing Kumbaya. And they would mean it. They would be thanking Hashem. And they would, it doesn't work. Chavivolos will say that doesn't work. The fascinating thing about the Chavivolos Halvodos Hashita is that that's where you want to end up. After you're given the rules and you're giving a framework and you know you have to daven and you have to give stacha and you can't murder and you can't talk Lashon Hara and you have to keep Shabbos and you have to keep Pesach and you can't eat Basar B'Challah and you're given the framework, then only half the work is done. The other half is to find within that framework an expression of gratitude, because that's where you want to end up. You don't want to end up, the Chavos Halevavos says time and time again, and this is a tremendous chiddush. And you know, people can't handle this chiddush, or they misunderstand the Chas V'Shalom, because it's a little dangerous. But you're all intelligent people, and I will entrust you with it. You want to end up thanking Hashem. I'm not eating Basar B'Challah, I'm thanking Hashem. I understand why not. This is not good. This is what Hashem wants. I understand Hashem's will. I appreciate what Hashem is and what He does for me. And He's saying, don't do this. And I understand why. And I understand what He wants for me. Or sometimes there's a chult that we don't understand, but I understand that I'm saying thank you and I'm acknowledging Hashem by listening to Him. That's where you want to end up. We don't want to end up with obedience only. It has to be obedience also, but as a stepping stone and a jumping point to being a flower child. It's a big chiddush, and people can't handle that. The literature world certainly doesn't say, that's very dangerous. And it is dangerous if you misunderstand, and if you don't see his insistence, because history shows that whoever tries to skip over the rules, skip over the stepping stone, and get to the goal, the next generation is off. It's finished. Even if that person manages to stay erlich, the next generation is gone. History shows that. And he explains that, and he explains why it's essential, but he insists, and it has to be said, it's only a stepping stone and a jumping off point. Your goal is what we call a relationship with Hashem. Your goal is how you feel towards Hashem, how you think of Hashem, how you want to serve Him, because you owe Him so much. That's the goal. So Perek Aleph introduced us to what we're going to be calling Ha'ora Sichlis and Ha'ora Toranis. Ha'ora Toranis is obedience school. These are the rules and you have to follow them. And Ha'ora Sichlis is, I understand what I'm doing. I feel towards Hashem a certain way. I'm using my seichel, my emotions, my sense of gratitude. So these are the two ways. We have to be taught it, because if we would just be left on our own, and you want to assume that someone left on their own would reach that point where he or she would understand what to do, is enough, because too much time goes by, because you don't reach intelligence or maturity, I'll say till 20, and by then it's too late, you're gone, because till then you're just living the life, and you're enjoying yourself, and then we can't bring you back. So we have to teach you, can't just leave you on your own, like Avraham Avinu was left on his own, and maybe he was Makir Hashem at the age of 3, or maybe at the age of 40, right? Different machlokas tanoim. And according to almost all shitas, he figured out all the rules. He went backwards. I have to thank Hashem for everything, and he figured out Basa B'cholov, and he figured out Tfilin, and he figured out Shabbos. Amazing. Avraham Avinu was not called Torah Kula. He went backwards. God wants us to go forward, but he wants us to end up not with only obedience, not with blind obedience, but with this feeling and the seichel that this is what Hashem wants, this is why he wants it. I have some grasp of Hashem in my life, and I want to serve him. I want to do this there. I want to do this. The irony of all of this is, of course, that Hashem needs nothing. He's doing this all for our benefit. That's like the irony of it all. The irony is that he's doing it all so that we could be zoche to follow Habba and to bond with him forever and become part of him. We are, Jewish people are already part of him. The Jewish people, whoever joined the Jewish people, doesn't matter. Everybody is Jewish. And then we want to, it's like, what's the biggest chesed he could have done for us? Chavis Halvava says in the Hagdamah, maybe I glossed over it too much. He said that a person, when he's comparing a person to an animal unfavorably, and he's saying a person is so weak and needy, maybe I read it too fast. It's a Chesed Hashem. It's a Chesed Hashem so that we will realize how much we owe Hashem. Because we have nothing, there's no instinct here, there's no. The Jews didn't even have anything, so who gave us the instinct? But Hashem made us so needy as a chesed so that we will acknowledge him. And that's why the Jewish people are always in danger. That's why Kifadu Hashem as Yaakov will be alone, we have chazak mimenu. It's never a fair fight. With the Jews, it's always chazak mimenu. We're always surrounded by people way more powerful than us. Why? Hashem's toying with us. Hashem likes thrillers? Maybe, I don't know. But the reason is because Hashem wants us to know that we only exist because of him. And we can only be here because of him. It's never a fair fight. So it's all, right? It's like if a person walked around, if a person walked around and he or she had a disease, and then every day is a gift, you feel differently towards Hashem. Every day is a gift, and you're aware of it. So Klal Yisrael is supposed to feel that every day is a gift, because it's always Miat Chozok Mimenu, start from Mitzrayim, we'll call it, where an Eved wasn't able to get out of Mitzrayim. Where one of the amazing things about Mitzrayim, which we really should talk about to save the night, but we don't, because we're rushing to make chatzos and the afikoman. Oh, anisa alakim lobo lokai mikarav goy masos, but also the chomo viot chazok of azor natuya. The tziv especially explains like lobo likachos like goy mikarav goy. Hashem was like a midwife, and then gave birth to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, and it looked bad and it looked terrible, and they were gone, and Menta Shari Tumma, and I got to hold that whole experience. And we're only here because of Hashem. Down to Dede, just take out a map, right? Take out a map, and you'll see. Perek Beis, he's going to explain now more specifically the role that each of these Heoros play. Heoros are called inspirations. Heoros Toronis, which is obedience, and Ha'ora Sichlis. Achatzorach, Perek Beis, Achatzorach, HaMevi, HaKolchelke, Mechelke, Ha'ora, Humundei She'ora, Tukua B'Seichel, Nechleshes B'Shlosh Ha'ponim, Lechiyamu L'Chosko B'Ora Toroy. The reason Hashem had to make the rules, he gets more specific now, more nitty gritty, more down to earth. The reason Hashem had to make rules, and he didn't just let us develop naturally, he said it in Perek Aleph in general, because it would be too late by then. But now he talks about why it would be too late. Ha'echa, he gives three reasons why, if it would be a fair fight, would not be fair. If you would just pit a person's desires and want and pursuit of pleasure and the hedonistic attitudes against Seichel, and I'm wired to acknowledge and to thank, so we'd lose hands down. Lose hands down. The Seichel would lose hands down for three reasons. Reason number one, and he gives like an overall picture of a person. A person is made up of different forces. Different natures. And there's a constant battle in a person. He doesn't use anything so fancy as Eitzara, Yetzatov. He doesn't look at a person. A person has conflicting, has a conflicted nature. Which is why so many people need therapy.
Yes.
Because people have this, people are built in contradiction, built in conflict. They nasho v'gufo, my body and my soul. Now the Chagavadis is now not going to condemn the body. He's going to explain how necessary it is and how it's part of Hashem's plan to have a body and to have taivus. He said that's what makes the world go round. That's what makes the world. If people wouldn't have taivus, there would be no children. And the whole world would stop after one generation. And people wouldn't build anything. And people wouldn't... He says, you need that. You need... You need the body to be the body and to want pleasure and to want kavod and to want to accomplish things. And that's how the world works. What's going to be is that Hashem wants it bound by self-control. Get married, but you can't do this, or you can't do that, you can't marry this one, and you can't marry that one, and even when you're married, this you could do, this you can't do, everything is bound. You can eat. Eating is okay. I love it when you eat. You're not allowed to eat this, you can eat this. Everything in the Chavis of Lovers says this. It's again, it's a chiddush that people can't handle. He says the Torah is one big book of teaching self-control. And the purpose of the mitzvahs is to teach us self-control. To control our bodily wants, needs, desires, pleasure-seeking things, to channel it, to make a gvul. This is your good though. You can do this. You know, it's like telling your kid you can do this, but you can do it only 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. And that's odd. But that's what the Torah. That's the Torah says. Everything you can eat, you can get married, you can have fun, you can. But it's, of course, we have to control. Because left uncontrolled, that would quickly take over. Man would become an animal. And the Kabbalists will explain why that would win any fight. Why we have to teach a person, and you can't just say, leave your own devices, grow up hedonistically, but then you're going to become mature and you're going to be like, you're going to look out the window and you're going to say, oh, mi bara ela, and how come I can breathe and how come I can think? It must be that life is more than just pleasure, and you're going to figure out you're going to be like a one man, one lady discovery class. He says that it wouldn't work, and he gives three reasons. The first reason is because you have this inner struggle. You have tithes. But the titles are there for a reason. If you wouldn't eat, you're going to starve to death. Hashem makes food tasty and makes it taste good and look good, and it appeals to people so that they should eat and live. And then, otherwise, maybe if you think about it, you have to stop to refuel, and then please forgive me, and then go to the bathroom, it's the whole thing. It's very gishmak. Eating is very gishmak. Hashem made eating gishmak so that Hashem made sleeping gishmak so that we should rest. Hashem made being married gishmak so that we should have the next generation. And it is bedafka, and that's good. That's good. And it's controlled by the Torah. Otherwise, it would win hands down, right? She's like one eagle to do. It's kind of like Yeshua Olam Hazeh. The Yeshua Aminu Anushi Al Yono. That's what makes the world populated. Vim Yafsidu Yeshua, because if you wouldn't have people, Ramito Azosi had Taiva Wano Sagufliyas. This is why Hashem, who gave us our Taivas? It's not like that's the Satan. And Hashem gave us the Seichel, and the Satan gave us a, no. Hashem gave us a desire, the Chavis HaLovus is saying here, because that's what makes the world go round. That's what makes the world work. That's why people have families and children and build bridges and better the world, because they want to be more comfortable. And they better that, some people might call that Tikkun Olam, I hate the expression, but I'll use it. They want to do things for the world. They want to build bridges and highways and make life more convenient, and that's what makes it work. And people, that benefits the world. Ah, the Hirkav Avori is Allah B'nefesh Adam, but Hashem gave us something which is disgusted with this life, which is repelled by the physical. Hashem gave us a soul and a seichel that says, this is ridiculous, I'm turned off by this, it's disgusting, it's so base, and how long does it last already for? And it's so fleeting, and what do I gain out of it already? Hashem, the seichel says, well, let me commit suicide, get out of this world, and return my neshama to Hashem, where it's happy. It's a prisoner here. And look at what, and it has to, like, get involved, it has to be like an animal you're drinking. So a person has a force in him or her, which is animalistic, but for a good purpose, and for a good reason. And Hashem wants that, but I also have in me something that wants to just, you know, go away somewhere, like not have anything to do with anything physical, you know, go to a monastery, and go curl up in the fetal position, meditate a whole day, and just like, I don't want anything to do with this world. I don't want to have a wife, I don't want to have a husband, I don't want to be involved in it. Like, I just want to. So these are, and this is a fight every person has. The neshama is fighting with the guf. But the guf is good. The guf is bad. Can't call the gates of hunger. The guf's instincts are for the purpose of building up the world and having a world and having a next generation and having a world that's in which you can appreciate Hashem. If you want to stick that in, because it's a pleasurable world. There's very yishmak of things in the world. There's food, it's tasty. Flowers are beautiful, and things are convenient, and we have things. It's wonderful. The Hirkiv Aboris old me does Limbo's probably does what I'm saying. He's disgusted by being in this world. The Aquasly pardon me, man. He wants to jump off a roof, wants to jump off a building, so his neshama is like, well, this is ridiculous. This is so short-lived. This is not real. This doesn't last. This is like instant gratification, and it lasts for a few moments. Right? If we ever think about how much the biggest anah lasts, for how many seconds? Seconds! Seconds! It doesn't last more than a few seconds. You eat something, it's geschmack. It mamish from the time it enters your mouth until you swallow it. That's the whole anah. There's no more anah in the taste buds after you swallow it. Maybe you've got anah from a belly that's full. But the geschmackite, the food, 10 to 20 seconds. However long it takes you to the taste buds on your tongue feels it. That's it. It's over. And realizing that the physical world is really a waste of time, because it's transient, and it's like is true chokhmah. Ah, you have this fight. Now let's say you have a basketball game, and you let one team on the field for 15 minutes before the other team ever gets on. So it's not much of a contest, right? You say, okay, for the first 15 minutes, Team Boof is on the field. That's what it is. So if we wouldn't teach people understanding and chokhmah, ara sichlis, and ara toronis, and just say, okay, you're going to be like a Avraham Avinu. So, you know, you're letting the Boof onto the field, two teams. the goof is on the field for, we'll call it 15 minutes before the other team even shows up. So, oh boy, how can you expect to win? The score is like 100-0 before you start playing. How are you supposed to? That's reason number one. Because when the child's born, it wants things, and it wants to feel comfortable and good, and it wants pleasure, and it wants to be full, and it wants to be comfortable, and it doesn't want to be cold, and it doesn't want to be hot. His connection, his friendship with these physical pleasures, chazak v'gadol v'nochutz bam, because he needs it to live, he has to eat. You don't have a choice. You have to eat. So it grows on you. Shmack, right? And you're doing this before you get any seichel whatsoever. So I say the score is like 100-0 before you even start. Higbira midas ha-taiva al shor midosav atchagavra la-seichel shenotra lova adam, because it's on the field alone, right? It runs up the score before the other team gets on. The tocha me'ra'o say no. So you don't really get, so if we leave you to your own devices, we don't even know if you score one basket. You know, you're on the field and you're busy, the other team is like totally in control, because they were there first for 15-20 minutes before you even showed up, so they're controlling everything. So we need, we have to sit you down in a chair, we have to give you a Torah that says, okay, and this is, because the Rebbe's like, okay, you can eat, but you can't, you're always going to be magbil, your pleasure seeking. That's the Ha'orah Torah, and it's like a Chiddush, he echoes this in Shar HaPrishus. It's not the way many, many other Sforim view mitzvahs, but he views mitzvahs as one big, and he says a beferish explicitly in Shara Precious. He views mitzvahs as one big exercise of self-control. We want to rein in the team. We've got to do something to this team that's on the field 15 minutes before. So we say, okay, but you can only shoot in, and you can't go out of bounds. We've got to rein them in somehow. We have to hobble them somehow. They were given free rein, the game would be over before you started. So that's what Ha'orah Toronis is for, to limit, to rein in these things that are necessary for the functioning of the world, but they're at loggerheads with the seichel that wants to leave the world, and doesn't want to be part of this world, because it's such a waste of time, and it has no lasting value. There's no lasting value to it. Yeah, so that's what you need seichel to realize that. So the seichel, it has to be taught that this is also Hashem's will, and if you follow the Torah, then it all becomes a good thing, and that's how it all meshes. Right? And you teach them, and you say, you know, they're really shooting basket. You can turn it around, and that the baskets they're shooting, I don't know if it was in basketball like that, in soccer it's like that. If you put the ball into the other team's net, right, so they get the point. I don't know if basketball's like that. Anybody know? Anyway, so that's what you learn. When you learn Ha'orah Toronis and Ha'orah Sichlis, you learn that you use the goof to score points for your team. You do it because it's the will of Hashem, and you follow the rules of the Torah that you self-control, and you do it for a good reason. Every time you eat, why is the shulchan like a mizbeach? Mizbeach, you have salt on the shulchan like you have salt on the mizbeach. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you know, this is all because your table will become a mizbeach if you intend when you're eating to have koach to serve Hashem. So now you've taken the act of eating and you put the ball in your basket instead of in the goof basket. And you use the goof's prowess at shooting baskets, you use it for your team, for team nefesh, for team seichel. Okay.